You're a wizard, Harry. Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Chamber of Secrets with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 15 of the Chamber of Secrets, Aragog. We discuss our own phobias, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Welcome back for another week of the Quidditch Cup. It is hotly contested. We are quizzing each other for points in the awarding of a Quidditch Cup. And it is, I'm not really comfortable with Jaya's lead, but here we are. I don't like it at all. Who's going first this week? How about Sarah?
I hate everything. Okay. Who is the student that the snake during the dueling club approaches?
Beep!
Vijaya.
Justin Flinch Fletchley.
That is correct.
Justin Flinch Fletchley?
I don't remember.
It's no, neither of those.
Something that starts with
it's,
an F.
It's Finch Fletchley, Finch. But that's okay.
Starts with an
so
F.
So 0.5, I'll just put in 0.5. There you go.
0.5 because you know what? Sarah could have gotten Witch Weekly.
You better put a 1 point on the app.
All right, put 0.5. Who's do you want me to go now or
not me, because I just went.
Alright. What did Hagrid give Harry for Christmas this year?
God damn it, this is all I
every goddamn year!
Beep!
Vijaya.
This is my answer last year. Rock cakes.
You are incorrect.
God damn it.
Sarah Tompkins?
A photo album of his parents.
No. God, you guys.
A book of poetry.
You guys.
A tuba.
It's last year was a little bit more important.
It was a pan flute.
Well, that was last year. That was more important.
This year it is a friendship bracelet. It's a friendship bracelet.
It was a large tin of treacle fudge, which he put by the fire to soften up before he ate it. Jesus. God. So obvious.
I was going to say rock cakes, but then Vijaya was incorrect first, so.
All right, then.
It's Vijaya's turn.
Vijaya.
Are y'all ready?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you guys so exasperated? I'm the one who's losing.
How many Muggleborns were attacked by the Basilisk while Ginny was under Tom's spell?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes?
Well, you got Colin Creevy.
Well, you can't ding it and do that. You can't, like,
it's,
count afterwards.
It's 4.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
God damn it.
I was just trying to be thorough. I mean,
well, you can't be because it looked like you were counting after the fact.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Everyone, stop yelling at me.
we have no pity for you.
I know, it's not even funny. Vijaya's got 10.5 points.
This is really bad for me.
Michael has 9 points, so he
I don't like it.
He's
too close.
Catching up a little bit. Sarah's got 5.5, which is very respectable, Sarah.
No, it's not, because how many rounds do we have left?
We've got 3 more rounds.
Yep, so I'm going to lose. But you know what? No, I don't have any good things to say. I was going to say I've had fun, but I haven't. I've just been miserable and mad at you all.
Chapter 15, Aragog.
Okay, so, you know, Dumbledore is gone.
Everyone is freaking out. Like, we have to, like, walk our kids to classes because they might get petrified on the way to class in the middle of broad daylight. Yeah, you can't go anywhere. It's the worst. You can't go outside. Madame Pomfrey won't let you do a GD thing. Like, you can't go and see your best friend and Hermione in the infirmary because you might try and kill her the rest of the way. I don't know. So basically, it's like it's like the Cold War up in Hogwarts. No one can go anywhere. And Harry's just brooding, and he's thinking about Voldemort. He's thinking about Dumbledore. You don't confuse the two.
What do you think Voldemort's thinking?
what is he thinking about? He's thinking about Dumbledore's last words to him before he left, and he's like, "What the hell does he mean? Like, you know, help will be given when you ask for it. Like, what kind of bull is that?" And he's just being really grumpy about it. He's fed up with the advice from Hagrid about following the spiders, because he followed every spider in the stupid castle, and he hasn't ended up anywhere, just like in corners and probably in people's beds where they just congregate at night and stuff like that. So he's just really upset. And then they're in Herbology. Well, before even they get to Herbology, they're in potions, and Malfoy's really, really pleased about Dumbledore obviously being gone. He's like, "My father says, you know, that somebody would be a better headmaster. Anybody would be a better headmaster." And he wants Snape to be the headmaster, and just laying it on real thick, and everyone's getting pretty fed up with it, except for Snape, who thinks it's delightful because he's just like smirking happily. So Snape takes them to Herbology because you can't walk by yourself anymore. In Herbology, Ernie the Hufflepuff comes up to Harry and he's like, "I'm really sorry about everything. Like, I know you wouldn't petrify Hermione. Let's shake it out, you know, blah, blah, blah." And Ron is not really having it because, God bless Ron, he doesn't let those things slide. but as they're talking to Ernie, they see all of these spiders. And the spiders seem to be forming a single file line and heading in a very specific direction, and that specific direction is toward the Forbidden Forest.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, and both Harry, but Harry's like, "Ron, check this out." And Ron's like, "Where are they going?" And Ernie's like, "What's happening?" and so they decide that later that night they're going to grab Fang and they're going to head to the Forbidden Forest.
That seems like the smart thing to do.
That is,
it's a really good idea. I mean, let's just go straight into the hell trees. I mean, that seems good. And actually, at one point, Ron's like, "Should we be doing this?" And Harry, who has been there once and never wants to go there again, is like, "There's good things in there, too. There's a unicorn and maybe some centaurs who don't really like me, but are okay." It's not very convincing, Harry. Just don't do it. But anyway, so they wait till everybody is, like, you know, out of the common room, which takes forever because nobody can go anywhere, so they're all just kind of hanging around and, you know, gossiping. And then once everyone's out, Harry and Ron slip under the invisibility cloak, grab Fang, go into the forest. So they're walking on the path because, you know, Hagrid had that advice that Harry's first year when he had to go into the forest to stay on the paths, you know, like, stick to the paths, stay off the moor, the, like, sort of, like, Werewolves of London crap. And they're going along, and all of a sudden they hear something. And it's just like, it's not a little something. It's not a squirrel or a raccoon. I don't even know if they have raccoons in England. and it's something big. It is something like, crunching, man. Real big.
Is it a Yeti? Yeah.
It probably is. And I wouldn't know unless I listened to Brute Force, but it's probably a Yeti.
I listen to Brute Force.
Oh, man.
Cross promotion.
Get up on that to see if it was a Yeti. But they stop. All of a sudden, they are blinded by a light. It's the Ford Anglia, guys.
What?
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's just like, it's just trolling around in the forest, just doing its thing. It's been sort of reclaimed by the wild, but I think it more like, it found itself, like Reese Witherspoon in the movie Wild. It's like, just like out there, you know what I mean?
More cash promotion.
Reese, we're getting a lot of kickbacks from Reese Witherspoon's people, so do you know how many copies of Sweet Home Alabama I've gotten since this podcast started? Like 12. anyway. So, it's a Ford Anglia. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's in the wild. It's sort of just, like, all muddied up. And it kind of just potters along, and it acts like a little pet dog and looks at them. But then it just pieces because it's not very interested in them. Hmm. But then Harry's about to turn to Ron when all of a sudden a huge hairy thing grabs him around the middle and lifts him off the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not good. That's never good. And guess what it is, guys?
A spider.
It's a puppy.
Giant spider.
Oh,
no,
spider.
It's not a puppy. It's a puppy.
I thought a spider.
It is a spider. It's not a puppy.
Do I get a point? Do I get a Quizzitch point?
No.
No. You don't get any points. But it's a giant spider. Ron obviously is terrified, can't deal with any of this. So the spiders take them along, and they're going through the forest, and it's freaky as heck, and they drop them in front of this big spider that they've been calling to. They've been, you know, yelling, Aragog, Aragog, not Aragorn, which my phone keeps trying to correct Aragog to. So clearly there is a Lord of the Rings bias to my phone. Not by me, by Apple, probably. Anyway, so like, Aragog, Aragog. And all of a sudden, from the darkness, comes this huge gray, like, spider the size of an elephant. And its eyes are milky white because it's blind as cuss. And and he's like, who goes there? And they're like, it's a man. It's men. And he's like, Hagrid. And he's like, no. And they're like, oh, well, eat him. Well, he doesn't say that, but basically, essentially, he says, like, just get rid of him. And Harry's like, no, we're Hagrid's friends. And they're like, oh, really? Are you really Hagrid's friends? Where's Hagrid? And he's like, he's been taken because he opened the Chamber of Secrets. And Aragog is like, no, he didn't, because he was accused of that, you know, forever ago. Like, when Hagrid was in school, he was accused of opening the Chamber of Secrets. And Harry's like, this is all news to me, even though he saw it. And so Aragog reveals to them that Hagrid was given, you know, these eggs, as he always is, by some sort of traveler. And he hatched and raised Aragog from when he was a little baby spider into a adolescent spider, which I bet was like the size of like a truck tire or something like that. But anyway, so he raised him and had to set him free into the forest. But before that, everyone's like assumed that Aragog, the creepy ass spider, I mean, it's not a huge leap of logic to assume that this giant spider was a thing that was, you know, roaming the castle from the Chamber of Secrets. And Harry's like, what? And he's like, and Aragog's like, dude, I had nothing to do with that dead girl in the bathroom. Like, that was not me. And so Hagrid helps Aragog escape into the forest and, like, is, like, matchmaker, like, Yentl style, and, like, helps him meet his wife, raise all these kids and stuff like that. But regardless, Hagrid was accused previously of the Chamber of Secrets because some girls killed in the bathroom and they thought the spider did it. And he's like, well, that's fine. Like, you know, he didn't kill him. He's in trouble now. And he's like, well, you know, do you know what did it? And Aragog's like, no, yeah, I totally know what did it. But we're not going to tell you because it terrifies us spiders. He's like, please, he's going to have told Hagrid many times that we're not going to tell him. So Harry's like, okay, we're going to go because this is terrifying. And Aragog's like, well, you're fresh meat. You know, my children are hangry. I'm going to give them some food. So Harry and Ron get the heck out of there because they need to get out of there. The Ford Anglia comes, saves their asses. They get out of the forest. As they've just escaped death, they're talking, and Harry's like, hey, wait a second. He said that he didn't have anything to do with killing that girl in the bathroom. What if he killed the girl? What if somebody was killed in the bathroom and they never left? Moaning Myrtle.
What?
Boom. Yep.
My mind is so blown right now.
Blown.
Man.
She died in the bathroom. That's very unfortunate.
Man.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Just like Elvis. What a way to go.
What a terrible judge of character Hagrid is. Like, he sent these kids to die.
Like, honestly, like even Ron is like, this is just Hagrid. Like, he just befriends these monsters and is like, yeah, they're going to be fine. They're going to treat my friends with respect. And literally Aragog is like, Well, we respect Hagrid. We won't eat him, but you're fair game.
We will for sure eat you. It's crazy.
Although, in fairness, if a chicken wandered in front of me, although if my friend's like, that's my friend, I probably wouldn't eat their chicken, but still.
But, he sent them into the forest to die.
He did. That
and
was
And they
bad.
Never mad at him? Are they like, hey, thanks for the spider
Hagrid's
thing?
Like, Hagrid's just like, my bad. Here's some rock cakes.
I'm pretty sure Hagrid was like, well, Aragog, he loves monsters. He doesn't think Aragog is that terrible. And he's not bad to Hagrid, so I'm pretty sure he, in his delusional monster-loving mind, is like, they won't do anything to Harry.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Hagrid didn't think they would eat Harry,
but you would think that after years of being proven wrong about every single creature, that he might, like, sense a pattern, or in the very least not send people to consult those terrifying creatures. He'd be like, well, you know what? Like, I have a connection with them. I think they're good. But, you know, they might not get along with everyone.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. So, but the only really new thing we got in this chapter are those, like, terrifying, creepy spiders. And there's not anything at Pottermore about them, shockingly. It just talks about how Aragog is big and gray and is blind. But there's not anything about giant spiders. You would think that'd be a point of interest, like where they come from, why they're big, like maybe are they related to our spiders? And if so, why are our spiders not that big?
None of that. They can't talk.
My question is, what is so freaking terrifying that these creepy spiders won't talk about it? Like, that's some, like, mobster scare stuff. They're like, well, we know it's there. We're not going to say nothing. Right?
It's probably that little shit Dursley.
That's probably... It's that little shit Dursley. Damn it.
I mean, yeah. There's no other course.
Also, if Hagrid knew, one, about the Chamber of Secrets, and two, that there was some terrifying, like, a creature terrifying enough that giant, venomous, man-eating spiders wouldn't talk about it, why is he not sharing this information with anyone?
I think he doesn't even know. He was just sending the kids in there to clear his own name.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't think the spiders have told Hagrid.
Yeah, I don't think they have. Oh, they definitely haven't, right? He doesn't know.
And this is a question that maybe for later, and I don't know if we should edit this out or not, but it's pretty common knowledge that Tom Riddle became Voldemort, right? Am I correct in that?
You would think so, right?
I think I don't know if everyone knows that. I know that the Death Eaters know that, and Dumbledore knows it, but I don't feel like it's a commonly known fact.
Just because, like, people know that.
Yeah, I think people know that he went to Hogwarts, maybe, and he had a connection to Hogwarts, but people necessarily know that Tom Riddle became Voldemort.
Yeah.
I just asked because, like, I feel like that would be a pertinent fact, especially in relation to the Chamber of Secrets.
Right.
That Hagrid could possibly share with someone.
Yeah.
Since like, he knew Tom Riddle. And I feel like if your classmate becomes a crazy sociopath, genocidal murderer, you kind of know that happens. And then you talk about it with all of your friends at your high school reunion. And you're like, hey, remember Tom? Yeah, remember how he killed all those people eventually? That was weird. You think that Hagrid would make a connection with the Chamber of Secrets, but maybe not.
Hmm. Man.
But I guess he wouldn't really be at the reunion, right?
Hindsight is 20/20, you know?
It really is.
Well, yeah. that was wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Michael.
You know, in this chapter, Ron Weasley, we found out he was very afraid of spiders for no reason.
Spiders are cuddly.
It's a completely illogical fear.
Spiders are good. They eat other creepy crawlies. I let all the spiders that I find in my house.
I will say in that vein, spiders in England are not venomous for the most part. Like, they don't really have venomous spiders. Like, if you were in Australia and you're afraid of spiders, like, I get that. But England, not as much.
Hardly any spiders will kill you.
And they're good for your house.
Except for a couple. But other than that, so yeah. So basically, he's got a phobia, which means that he's afraid of something for pretty much no reason. And so we thought it'd be fun to talk about phobias and our personal phobias.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start by talking about what we were afraid of as children. And I guess, I don't know, who wants to go first?
Just a little house cleaning. There are venomous spiders in Great Britain. They're just none that will kill you.
Oh, well, that's nothing.
They will, like, they're like black widows and brown recluses where it'll give you, like, a lot of pain, but, you know.
Gotcha.
Those don't kill you? Treated. I thought those were the bad ones.
No, I mean, brown recluse and black widow, if they bite you and you get it treated, it's usually fine.
Well, are there any spiders that will just kill you dead by biting you?
I think Australia has some, like, worse venomous spiders that... if you don't seek medical attention in several hours, maybe it'll kill you, but...
Gotcha.
But there, that's also, like, snakes. Like, there are not that many venomous snakes. Well, there are a lot of venomous snakes, but there are not that many that will kill you.
Unlike the Sydney... the Sydney funnel spider is, like, super duper, like, one of the most venomous snakes in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the other ones are, like, if you seek treatment, you'll be fine. I mean, it'll hurt a bunch. I'm not gonna, like, try to downplay that, but...
Yeah,
your common house spiders, let them alone, you know? Right. They'll trap mosquitoes and flies and shit. They're good. This has been the PSA from the spider-loving Vijaya.
I'm not afraid of spiders, and I don't dislike spiders. A quick aside, though, phobia comes from the Greek word phobos, for fear.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right, Michael, you want to go first? What were you scared of as a wee bitty child 80 years ago?
I was mostly afraid of steam engines.
What?
Because they were so new that...
Bruce Monroe stepped on that steam engine as the first president to step on a steam pit.
Oh my god, you killed... you have killed me. I just coughed so hard.
I don't know if there's anything I was like, one of you guys go first?
I'll go first.
I'm still trying to think.
I was afraid of, so one of the bridges that, there are like three cities in Nepal where I lived, in the valley that I lived in, and one of the bridges connecting the capital city to an adjacent city broke one time, and we had to use another bridge. And there, like, apparently an urban legend grew out of that bridge when I was like, 7 or 8, and it talked about this like demon witch lady that would walk alone on that bridge, and people passerby, cars would stop and like give her a ride, and when they try to talk to her, she wouldn't talk, and then the way you know that she's a demon witch person was that both of her feet would be turned the opposite way. So the ankle...
That's terrifying.
The ankle would be the front part of her... or the heel would be the front part of her feet.
This is terrifying.
That's...
And then she would... Yeah, she would...
That's actually legitimately terrifying.
That was like an urban legend. And we would have to take that bridge all the time because we'd go to weddings and like... I actually also had to go to school across that bridge. So that was my phobia. I thought that we would get
Did that happen like during the day?
No, it usually happened during the night. But we would go to like wedding parties, like wedding receptions, and come back at night. Which my family never stopped to like give hitchhikers rides. But that I was always afraid of that demon witch lady.
Does she have a name?
The term was Gitchgundy. I have no idea. That was just the word.
Demon Witch Lady, probably.
Like, but that, I feel like, why is that not a terrifying horror movie that I've seen yet?
Yeah, while she's walking, she's supposed to be really pretty, but once she got in and, you start talking to her, she doesn't talk. Yeah, she turned around, she's supposed to have, straggly hair, and then you look down and you see that her heels are in the front, and her toes are in the back. All right, if anyone's making a movie out of this, I should get, 30% of that in that movie.
Sarah, do you got anything?
Well, okay, so that made me think of a childhood fear I had that is surreal. My small reveal is that as a child and still to this day, not similar, but sort of I think of the same spirit of of Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary in the mirror three times, this terrifying lady will appear. Even in the middle of the night, I don't like to go to the bathroom without turning a light on because I'm afraid to look in a mirror. I know it's irrational, but it's just... I'm going to see this lady and she's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm. It's always like that when I think about those things too. And I'm like, they're not real. And then I look in the mirror and my head says Bloody Mary three times. I'm like, what the fuck, brain? Why did you just do that? There's going to be a demon behind me now.
That's exactly what it is. I'm like, I'm going to mitigate all of this and I'm just going to turn on the light. My biggest fear are moths. They like
moths as in the ugly butterflies?
Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe I was mishearing it.
I also don't look terrified of butterflies. I don't like them. I was actually at my friend's house like a week or two ago and a giant butterfly flew in.
Why?
God, their faces are
why?
I wish I could. They're fuzzy and they can fly in your hair and get stuck in your hair.
Other people would think they're pretty.
So there's this thing, I don't know, I'm sure there's some scientific term for it or whatever, but there's the thing where like a lot of insects all hatch at once or something. And do you remember when there's a baseball game, Sarah, which I feel like you'll remember, where it was Jabba Chamberlain?
Yes. Oh my God, that was just this past year.
It was years ago.
There were just Jabba so many bugs. They had to stop the game.
Right, but it was basically just covered in insects. One time when I was driving through Binghamton, New York, we had to stop to get gas, and I got out of the car, and it was basically just raining insects. And I finished pumping the gas and I got back in the car and I proceeded to spend the next 4 hours driving in the car like swatting imaginary bugs away from me that I thought were still on me. this is terrible.
My sister's also afraid of moths. We blame it on our cousin for putting moths in our hair as a child.
Makes sense. I think, if I were to pick a phobia from my childhood, I think, one time we were swimming in creek or pond or something, and my sister came out and had a leech on her.
Oh, they're gross, man.
Yeah, so I think, I probably had a, from then on, an unrealistic fear of getting leeches by going in, water that wasn't... ocean or pool or whatever.
Leeches are gross, and that's a legitimate fear. And
leeches are pretty gross.
Okay, so I have one story from my childhood, which was, so I was a Cub Scout, and I lived in New Jersey, and there's a place in New Jersey called the Pine Barrens, which is a very large forest.
Is the Pine Barrens where the New Jersey Devil lives? The Jersey Devil?
Yes, this is where this is going. There's this huge forest. New Jersey is not all parking lots and malls. And we were camping in the Pine Barrens. And so the way Cub Scouts works is you do your Cub Scout stuff and then you go to sleep or whatever. And the dads think of fun things to do to fuck with you.
Not fuck with you,
Well, depends on the Cub Scout, true.
Oh, but that's true.
but so So our dads were like, we'll really freak them out. We'll tell the story of the New Jersey Devil. Because there's the new, like, yeah, it's supposed to have, like, I don't know, goat legs and
yeah,
all that stuff. So they were like, we know, well, this is what we'll do. We'll tell the story on the campfire, and then we'll be like, you know, but what if it was in the trees? And then we'll shine our flashlights up in the trees, and there'll be like a little Jersey Devil thing, which the best they could do was essentially like a little stuffed animal. And so they did this, right? And they expected us to all be terrified. But what instead happened was there was a small mob of children chasing after. Like, I think it's actually my dad ended up grabbing the thing and then, like, running through the forest. And so it was essentially, like, in the middle of the night, like, it was like E.T. or something, where there's just flashlights all through the forest as my dad is getting chased around. And there's a bunch of little, like, 12-year-olds going, burn it! Oh, burn it!
That's wonderful.
He eventually like tried to stash it in a car, and we all found it. And no children went missing, which was shocking. That's so in retrospect.
That's but you're not scarred, so, and yeah, you're not terrified of the Jersey.
No, because we
you captured it. So that's what
I was waiting for you to say. This kid fell off the cliff and died.
No, you'd think that would happen. Like, it was not good. This was the 1930s, so
that's true.
You know, things were different then. And now I'm just afraid of my own mortality. So there we go.
I do not like that either. Moths, mortality, and Bloody Mary.
Speaking of mortality, my current phobia is death.
And you are very. Do you think you just have the flu, right?
I have a flu adjacent viral thing.
It's not some sort
it's not the flu, but they said it was flu-like, but it's not the flu virus. I know. It's Iowa. I went to Iowa for 2 days, and I came back on my deathbed, apparently.
Yeah, Iowa flu.
Don't ever go to Iowa because you will contract
I don't Zika feel like you have to tell me. People that. I don't think anyone's going to Iowa.
Just in case you do not.
No one goes to Iowa on purpose.
There is literally like one flight to Iowa from Chicago that everybody
I'm went. Sorry, people from Iowa. And I'm sure
it was also half beautiful. Empty. Every time I fly, I'm like, I do not want to die right now. I have so many more things to do. I have so many more people to say goodbye to. I cannot leave my dogs by themselves. Josh doesn't know what to do with them. I have so many things. I have to adopt so many more dogs. I have so many things to do. So many more dogs to pet. So many more bourbons to drink. It's not even just flying. Sometimes, like, I won't be able to breathe as well. Or, like, last night I had a really, like, I had a low-grade fever. But I was like, what if this fever keeps getting higher as I sleep? And then I die.
I feel like that happens to me too. That's legit.
Every time we do something where a bunch of Geekly people are going somewhere like GeeklyCon, Tim will make this hilarious joke of like, what if one of our planes crashes? And we're talking about it now, but when this podcast releases, you'll be dead.
Don't say that, because that's when it happens. And they're like, man, that was weird that they mentioned that.
Well, I hope we brightened your day a little.
Wait, you didn't say your...
What's that?
Your adult phobia.
Oh, no, I said now I'm afraid of death.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He said it before you did.
We all shared the same one. We don't want to die.
My fear of death doesn't make me cry the way that my fear of moths
it's failure.
Does most of the time.
Failure as well. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Hope you have a great day.
Go cry.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what?
We've got more iTunes reviews. Can you believe it?
That's no. Crazy.
Yeah. Dallas the Human from the United States says, I love this show. All three of the podcasters do a great job. The music is fun and the segments are great. I always end up laughing out loud. I love their breakdowns of the chapters and adding their own opinions. The Quizzitch Cup is my favorite part. See, when I always say it's everyone's favorite thing.
There's the evidence. There's the proof.
And I can't wait to see who wins. I really hope they go on to do Chamber of Secrets and Prisoner of Azkaban. Well, Chamber of Secrets for sure after this, because I would love to see their take on those books. You have this Slytherin's full-hearted approval.
Yeah.
That's great. I like that. That's a good one.
Obi-Wan QQQ from the United States says, Muggles and Squibs welcome. I really enjoy this podcast. The three hosts are great and funny. Their knowledge of the Potterverse is great. Bunch of nerds. Smiley face.
May the force be with you, Padawan.
Jester333 from the United States says, yes, 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 yes. I listen to pretty much everything Geekly does. You guys are my spirit animal. So obviously you talk about Potter because you're flipping perfect. Thanks for catering directly to who I am as a person. You're welcome. We did that just for you.
Only for you.
Sugarbolt from the United States says, my magical aesthetic. Firstly, I should say, not a huge Harry Potter fan. I've seen all the movies and read the first few books, but it always bugged me how they never addressed the tiny technical issues that would arise from in this world of whimsy. No one ever asked the important questions, like if the sorting hat is sentient, or how the pointless non-seeker roles in Quidditch came to be. As someone with a constant nagging itch to ask these questions about all fiction, I love this podcast because it helps me feel much more at home with the franchise. Great job!
Yay!
Yay! I'm glad you listened to us, even if you don't like it. I mean, the books. Us, hopefully.
I mean, it seems like he likes them. It's just, you know, he gets annoyed by the little...
Like the fact that he doesn't realize that it's I am Lord Voldemort mixed all up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizardary. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Vijaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.